So we're in our new, well, not new, we're almost done with our sub-series, Romans, Faith in Action. As we share, the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans is about the good news of Jesus Christ, about the gospel of grace. And then chapters 12 to 16 is about the application and the implication of that good news in our lives. It's a practical part of the book of Romans. And today's sermon is entitled Joining God in His Mission. And so let's go to Romans chapter 15, 7 to 22. So I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the people extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up. One who will arise will rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. Verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points, to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not on foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So we're going to look at three things from this passage. Number one, what is God doing? Number two, how do we respond to what he's doing? And number three, some practical suggestions. So what is God doing? And what is Paul saying that God is doing? So if you look at verses 8 to 9, Paul wrote, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. So Paul is saying, number one, that Jesus came to, number one, confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, and number two, that the Gentiles may experience God's mercy and glorify God. So then he quotes several Old Testament passages, verses, showing that God has always declared that the Gentiles will worship and praise God, that Gentiles will be accepted and included. Let's look at this a little bit more. So what was the promise that God made to the patriarchs? Patriarchs means fathers. fathers of Judaism. The heart of that promise is the promise God made to Abraham, and that through his seed that he would bless all nations. That's the heart of the promise to the patriarchs. And Jewish people at the time that Paul wrote the letter, however, tended to make God's promise to them very exclusive to them, that they are a chosen people of God, set apart to give God glory. But Paul is saying that all along, right from the beginning, the reason God blessed Abraham is so that through Abraham, all nations might be blessed, that he had always wanted Gentiles to come in to God's blessings. And this, Paul says, is done through Jesus Christ. So Paul is essentially saying God is now bringing Jews and Gentiles together into a community. And that's why he's been talking about the importance of accepting one another, embracing one another in love, because it was not an easy thing to do. For us, it seems like it's something pretty straightforward, especially because we're mostly Gentiles. Just in case you don't know Gentiles mean non-Jews. But to Paul and many others, God's vision for unity among the people of all nations actually coming together, and not just the Jewish people, was a pretty revolutionary idea to them, because it seemed to contradict what they believed was the God of the Old Testament, God exclusively of the people of Israel. I mean, you think about the people who were Jewish at the time and the Greeks, Gentiles at the time. It's kind of like trying to build a community of Hasidic Jews and hipsters in New York City into one community. It's, you know, you can kind of imagine it was not an easy thing to do. It was not a natural thing to do. They were from different cultures. They were from different race, although the concept of race as we have it now in modern time was different than the concept of race that they had before. They didn't really have a concept of race. They had different views of the world. They had different moralities, different ethics, different religions. They came from families with different expectations, different socioeconomics, different social and political power, because of where they're from. They looked at each other with suspicion and distrust and exclusionary attitude. Yet, God has always been and has always been in a mission of bringing these people together into a community. In fact, that's what you see when you read the book of Revelation and you see this vision of the fulfilled kingdom of God. All nations, all tribes, all languages actually come together and worship and glorify the Lamb of God. And so that is what God is doing. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. God is doing a lot of other things, so we want to just focus on this thing for today. So the question then is, how do we respond to what God is doing? The answer Paul presents is twofold. He says, number one, this gives us hope, he says. See, after he talked about this great plan of God of bringing Jews and Gentiles together into community, this people are so different together into community, he says in verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So he's saying there is hope in the world because God is doing something. God is bringing people together. God is demonstrating grace to those who have been historically been excluded and marginalized. God is reaching out to them. God is inviting them. God is freeing them. God is creating a community, the church, to bring love, grace, and inclusion. And he says, this gives us hope Don't you see that? This leads to joy and peace, he says. Joy and peace are not about feeling good because everything in your life is going well. Joy and peace are feeling good because of the hope of what God is doing is awesome. Because we believe in what God is doing, regardless of the circumstances. The Holy Spirit has the power to give us hope. Let's pause and just kind of think a little bit more about what this means. You know, when we look around the world, we see the world divided and broken. There are wars. There are culture wars, there are racism, sexism, environmental damage, hatred, homophobia, transphobia, systemic injustice, human trafficking, drug addiction, greed, violence, bullying, and the list goes on and on and on. What Paul is saying is that God is doing something about this. He's in the process of redeeming everyone through Jesus Christ. Through what he has done. He's in the process of bringing the good news to the world to transform the world and to actually bring people together. He's in the process of renewing all things, he's saying. He's in the process of bringing that which is to come in the future into the present. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God is on the move, he's saying. So we have hope. Yes, we see brokenness, but God is doing something. God is bringing people together. So soak in the reality of that hope. So that's the first response to seeing what God is doing, hope, and therefore experience of joy and peace and the power of the Holy Spirit. The second response to what God is doing is to join him in what he's doing. Join him in his mission. And that's what verses 14 to 21 tells us. Paul says that God has given him grace to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in a priestly service of the gospel of God. And then he says in verse 20 to 21, he says, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. Essentially, Paul is saying, I see what God is doing. God is bringing people together. God is reaching out to the Gentiles. God is calling those who have been marginalized and excluded into inclusion. I see what God is doing. It gives me hope that the division will cease and will actually come together. It gives me joy and peace to know that God is up to something. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to join into what God is doing in this world. That's what he's saying. I'm going to join God in the mission of bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. In fact, I want to be in the frontier of bringing the gospel to where Christ is not known. That's, you know, he has that passion. He dedicates his life in joining God in his mission. This was his response. Join God in his mission. How about you? How about you? What is the Spirit of God calling you to? Now, to help you process that, I want to give you a few practical suggestions about joining God in his mission. How do we do this in our lives? Number one, I think all of us have to learn to see what God is doing. In order to see that, we must first kind of dive into the scriptures. That's what Paul did. He dove into the scriptures and saw what God was doing from the beginning, from the time of Abraham, which was thousands of years ago, to who Jesus was and what God is doing now. He saw the past, present, and the future of what God is doing. He saw the gospel. He saw the good news of Jesus Christ. He soaked in it. He found beauty. He found astonishment in this good news of Jesus Christ, of God's plan of including everybody. And then he saw the implication for the kingdom of God. He saw that God is in a mission to not only bring people to himself, but also to bring people together, to bring to the present all that is to come in the future, to bring healing, to bring peace, to bring love, to bring social justice, to bring redemption to this world. You know, the problem with many of us, you and me, is that we don't see what God is doing and join him. We focus on what we're doing and ask God to join us. Isn't that what we do? We often focus on God's blessing for us individually with what we're doing. God, I got a plan to do this. I'm going to go that. I want this. You know, we pray for, you know, prosperity, money, success, fame. We pray that God will help me accomplish the plan that I have. But you know, it's not about my purpose, my mission, my desires, my success, my desire for life, for me and my family only. God knows we need many of these things. It's important. And I'm not undermining all of these things that are in your heart. But God's plan for you is not just about you and your family only. And God is not a genie out there to give you what you need. And he's not out there on your beck and call to answer you, to help you to do what you want to do. You would be disappointed if you approach God that way. God will disappoint you in many ways. Rather, God is calling you to a paradigm shift, complete radical change in the way you think about things, change the way you think about yourself, change the mission and purpose of your life. It is not about you. It's about seeing what God is doing and join him in the work that he is doing in the world. And your success is not defined by your socioeconomic position. It's not defined by how far you climb the ladder, you know, socioeconomic ladder. It's not defined by how many friends you have or, you know, how many people like you. It's defined by your faithfulness in your joining God's mission in your life. This will liberate you. This will bring you joy and peace. You let go of your life and you see what God is doing and you make faithfulness in joining God's mission as your measure of success in your life. And God says, just be faithful because I'm doing the work. Just join me in what I'm doing. It's bigger than you. And it will liberate you. So that's the first thing. See what God is doing, not what you're doing. I mean, we look at what we're doing, but we prioritize what God is doing and put ourselves in line with what he's doing. Number two, take time to see and listen to what the Holy Spirit is doing. Look around you. So look around. You have to remember that God is doing something even before you do something. Do you see what the Holy Spirit is doing around you? Do you see what God is doing? You know, when I was in the process of planting New City, I spent many weeks hanging out in downtown to see what God was doing here. Initially, I thought my mission was to bring God to downtown. I know that sounds really arrogant, but I remember I said that actually out loud, and to bring God to downtown, to this secular place where God is so far away, you know. But I realized that God was already here before I got here. He was already doing something here. I had to take the time to listen and see what God was doing so that I could learn to participate. And one of the things that I learned here is that there are so many people who identified as LGBTQ who were hungry for God. That was the Holy Spirit working here already. I learned that there were a lot of hunger for a church that might bring people together in the neighborhood, not in, instead of little separate socioeconomic zones. The Holy Spirit was already at work. So I listened to what God is doing. But I want to ask you, what is God doing around you? What is God doing in your work? What is God doing in your family? What is God doing in your neighborhood, in your family? As you take time to see and listen, you might notice that there's a lot of brokenness. And you might notice crimes, injustice, hatred, division, homelessness, addiction, pride, idolatry. You might notice the difficulties and the struggles of people around you. And when we see that, we have a tendency to just kind of, I stay in my comfort zone. But I think the call is, instead of avoiding them, do what Jesus did. Walk into it. Incarnate into them. Actually, if you see brokenness, walk in further into brokenness. Now, even as I say that, you know, some of us need to be in a place of healing because of abuse and other things. And so there's timing issues. Some of us need to hold back a little bit until we heal. But ultimately, our direction, our trajectory must be to walk into the places of brokenness, difficult places, to see what God is doing. Like Paul, make it your ambition to go to the most difficult places in your life. See and listen from the inside. Get to know people. You know, I felt a calling to Skid Row even before I planted New City Church. And as I got to know Skid Row, I got to see what God is doing. You know, I remember when I first saw Skid Row. Hey, do you remember the time, for some of you who's not from that area, first time you saw or drove through or walked through Skid Row? I just thought, my goodness, is this America? This is a terrible place. God-forsaken place. It saddened me to see all these homeless people living on the streets, but as I walked in and got to know the people in the neighborhood, I saw that God was at work in this neighborhood. Holy Spirit was at work. In fact, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit more tangibly in Skid Row than anywhere else I've been to. There was openness to the gospel. There was hunger for community. There was hunger for inclusion and acceptance. In fact, they accepted and embraced one another more beautifully than most communities that I've ever been part of. I saw beauty in Skid Row. God was calling me to join him in a work of what he was doing, the work of bringing the gospel, work of freeing people, the work of helping and serving them, work of being a part of them in community and creating a community of acceptance and love. So that's the second thing. See what God is doing around you. See what God is doing around you. So number one, see what God is doing in terms of the trajectory of what he's doing. And then number two, look around you and see what God is doing. Number three, take time to praise. Weep and pray. You know, sometimes when we see what God is doing, it's just awesome. You just want to say, God, I praise you. I worship you. And just, you know, you need to take a moment to acknowledge God and praise him and worship him for what he is doing. And sometimes, though, then we see and listen to all that what God sees. Although God's at work, there's so much to do. And we see and we stay and we walk into those difficult places. Sometimes we can't help but to weep. You know, when we see injustice, when we see addictions that devastates people's lives, when we see hatred and racism and homophobia and transphobia, when we see violence, when we see hopelessness, when we see exclusion and separation, you know, when we see all this brokenness around us, we can't help but to just fall down and weep and say, Lord, have mercy upon us. So feel. It's okay to feel. The biblical writers did that all the time. They felt the brokenness of the world. They knelt down and they complained. They lamented to God. You know, this reminds me of the story of Nehemiah. When Nehemiah, this is an Old Testament story, he was a cup holder to the king in Susa. The power that colonialized Israel. And some of his friends came back from Jerusalem and reported to him the devastated state of the city of Jerusalem. And when Nehemiah heard this, he fell on his knees and wept and prayed for months. About 6 months, he wept and prayed. Did nothing but wept and prayed. He felt this sense of holy discontent developing in his life at the time, that this is not the way it's supposed to be. I got to do something about this. And led him to a place to say, I got to do something. I got to do something. So he approaches the king and then starts the process of going back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city. And that's the story. But I think in the same way, we see all that is broken around us. And sometimes we just have to kneel down and pray and weep and lament and just soak in God. God, how can this be? This is not in line with the kingdom of God that is to come. This is not where it's supposed to go. But I know you are doing something, and I know you are calling people to join you. And maybe you're calling me. Maybe you're developing such holy discontent in my life about an aspect of something that's going on in the world and saying, maybe you're calling me to do something about it. Maybe I'm not supposed to just sit in the sidelines, look at that. Maybe you're supposed to call me. Maybe I'm supposed to join you, God. And that's where God begins to form you. And then, lastly, take steps as led by the Spirit. For some of you, God is calling you to a major change in the trajectory of your life. Maybe you're going this way. Maybe God is saying, you know what? I'm going to, as you see what I'm doing, as you see all that is around you, and as you develop this sense of frustration and holy discontent, I'm calling you to do something. I'm calling you to join me in a work of bringing wholeness to this world, to bring reconciliation, bring justice. The good news of Jesus Christ apply to that situation. And you're saying to yourself, maybe I need to change my direction completely. Maybe it's just been all about me, and I've been asking God to just bless me. But now God is saying, no, actually, I'm over here. I'm calling you to join me into something bigger than you. And maybe the Spirit of God is percolating in you. And I think it's time to listen, maybe take decisions and begin a process of discernment, talking to people around you and thinking through what that might mean. Because discernment is not an easy thing. You can't just go, I think God is calling me to do this, And if the community don't think you should do that, maybe you shouldn't. So just because you think you should do something, that doesn't mean God is calling you to do something, but it's calling you to discernment, calling you to a process of discernment. Maybe that's what you should do. For some of us, God is calling us to take small steps. God is calling us to just soak in the gospel and see what God is doing through the Holy Spirit. You know, we talk about the gospel all the time. You know, if you don't soak in the beauty of the gospel, none of these things matter. You just see this beauty of God that has been revealed, this beauty of love, reconciliation, grace, inclusion, and embrace. Not based on your works, but just because he loves you. And that he is not only redeeming you and changing you, transforming you, he is in the process of changing the world. Not through some forced legislation and making people do what they don't want to do, but by love, sacrificial, unconditional love. God is doing something. And we need to soak in this thing that God is doing. We need to see it. We need to be mesmerized by it. We need to just go, wow, that's just so awesome. That's way better than what I'm doing with my life. We need to see that, feel that, open our eyes to it, and then we need to see what's going on around us and how God is working in various different areas of our lives. And maybe it's just our family members. God is doing something in our family. Maybe you don't see it. Maybe the circumstances are such that you're just discouraged, but you know what? We have to believe, because the scripture tells us that God is present and is doing something even in your broken families. God is present and doing something even in your jobs where you feel like you're stressed out all the time. God is present and doing something even in your neighborhood, even in your mission, even in your school where, you know, you may feel like it's just forsaken, secular place, but God is doing something. Open your eyes to see what God is doing, and that which is not up to the level to which you think should be consistent with the trajectory of what God is doing, participate in that work. Make little changes in your life. Maybe the change is about, you know, instead of avoiding the difficult places, I'm going to walk into the difficult places. And what does that mean in my life? Maybe instead of just seeking comfort, and, you know, this is a good thing to share at New City Church, because it's often not comfortable to do community with such diverse group of people. But you know what? We walk into those places and listen and learn from one another to see what God is doing in your life, one another's life. Then we celebrate, we weep, we pray, and we follow. Take small steps. Take small steps in your life. Let's go to God in prayer. I want to ask you to just take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Where are you going? Are you joining God in his mission? Or are you asking God to join you in your mission? I want to join you in your mission. Would you pray that with me? Lord, I want to join you in your mission. Show me what you're doing. Help me to see how you're working around me. And help me to join you. Show me the little things that you're calling me to do. Show me the big things that you're calling me to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.